Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again. And let's go to the Lord. Father God, we ask for your anointing and we ask for your wisdom to go forth today. We love you, Lord. We run after you and all that you are. Lord, there's a lot of people out there that believe they have arrived, and that saddens us. Because there's always a goal, and the goal is Christ and Christ's likeness. But they don't know it, Lord. And for that reason, the backsliding of the simple shall slay them. Father, help us today to understand these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the new covenant that you've given us that explains it all. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, I'd like to talk about the new covenant people. You know, people who study the word for themselves, that's the people who don't trust in any man. They're going to outgrow those people around them who started in the kingdom at the same time, but they didn't have any interest in putting the seed into their heart. In the parable of the sower, the seed, and that's the word of God, was put into the heart of man. And those who gave it good ground, they bore fruit. This parable is true for us today. Folks, there is a falling away of those who have been God's people because even now, they don't have a heart for the truth. They think they've gotten all they need from their legalistic religion, and that's all that they need. And that's wrong. There ain't but one seed, and that's the seed of the word that can bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. And that's what God's looking for, the fruit of Jesus Christ. And the seed of man's religion will not bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, instead of looking like Jesus Christ, those people begin to look like their preacher. Because each seed brings forth after its own kind, it says in Genesis chapter 1. There's only one seed that can bring forth the life and nature of Jesus Christ, and that is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it's the Word. It's the wisdom of God that causes us to be able to partake of all the benefits of the kingdom of God. Matthew 13 and verse 40 says, "As therefore the tares are gathered up." Now, you know what tares are. That's the weeds. And in this case, they grew together with the wheat. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the tares and the wheat up until it comes out when it starts bearing fruit. Some of you out there are saying, "I've got the fruit." Well, do you look like Jesus Christ? Are you walking in Christ's steps? Do you believe in his ministry today, or have you thrown all that out the window just like your religion did? No, you're not walking in his steps unless you're walking in his steps, right? He ain't changed. It was an eternal gospel when he gave it, but men have changed it. Men have glorified men and religion rather than Christ. And it's the same thing that happened to Jesus back in his day. None of the denominations of his time, not a single one, accepted him. The denominations of Judaism were jealous of Jesus and they killed him. Those people who did accept him had to leave their denominations. That's why he called them the church. It was because they came out from among them, it says, and followed Jesus. Today, the people who come out from among them and follow him, these are the disciples, and they are the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Today, if you come out and you receive the life of Christ, the denominations of Christianity are going to persecute you too because they don't like Jesus. They are, whether they know it or not, tares and haters of the true God. Matthew 13 and 40 says, "Therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire. So shall it be in the end of the world." Well, here we are. Matthew 13, 41 says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom." In other words, a falling away. all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. There's many out there who cause stumbling because they don't follow the Lord or have his same heart for the people. There are lots of people out there who cause stumbling and that do iniquity. They don't know that the gospel was meant to deliver us from iniquity, and they don't understand that the blood washes us clean from iniquity. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Matthew 13:42 says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yep, there's a furnace coming, folks. Then verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. You see, God is not only sanctifying individuals, he's sanctifying a body. The workers wanted to root up the tares, but he said, no, let them grow together until the harvest, unless you root up the wheat with the tares. So he lets them grow together, but at the end of the time, he plucks up the tares first. You hear that? First. And gathers them together to burn them. Then the wheat shines forth in the kingdom of their Father, because God has sanctified a body, which is what the Lord's doing now. He's sanctifying a body of people. He's now separating away from the body these people who continue in their sins. He don't want leaven to leaven the whole lump, like it says in Romans 11:16, 1 Corinthians 5:6, and then in Galatians also. And he's doing that now. He's going to be doing it up until the physical end of the world. He wants a holy body. He don't want people in the body who's going to pervert you when you come into the kingdom. And he doesn't want people in the body who won't tell you the truth when you come into the kingdom. They immediately speak lies to you about who he is and what he does and what he expects of you. The Lord is plucking them up by the roots because they are twice dead, it says in Jude 1. Now, I'd like to give thought to another parable in Scriptures about the falling away, but let me just give you a little overview first so that you don't miss something that's important. It has to do with being in the olive tree of faithful and true Israel in Romans 11. When Jesus came along and preached the new covenant, there was a remnant of Israel that listened and heard and actually stayed in their olive tree. They were the branches that stayed in their olive tree. The rest were broken off because of unbelief. But when that happened, when the remainder of the Jews turned away, then the Lord turned to the Gentiles. They came in through their faith and were grafted into the olive tree. And then the parable jumps to the very end times when everything is reversed. And that's because in the end times, the Gentiles have the covenant, but the Jews don't. The Gentiles who are in the olive tree are believers. Now, I ain't talking about believing in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about believing enough to obey him and bear the fruit of Christ, just like we saw in the parable of the sower. Folks, we've come to the end times where we're coming to the place of a great falling away. It's a reprobation of those who don't bear fruit. Faith without works is dead, James tells us. In the end times, things are turned around because the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and after that, God reprobates the rest of the Gentile. But this is not a smooth, clean line drawn because there's a little overlap on both sides. And then finally, at last, remnant of Israel comes into the olive tree that God calls all Israel. Romans 11:26, this is the olive tree. It's not the people who fell away. It's not the people who never heard. It's not the people who are Jews only in the flesh. This is the olive tree, and only those who are in the olive tree are called all Israel. As Paul tells us, all those in the olive tree who are born from above are Jews, whether they're natural Gentiles or natural Jews. they are Jews if they are believers in Jesus Christ. Romans 2 and 28 says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. No, not according to the new covenant. They're not. In the world, yeah, but not according to the covenant. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. So if you're an outward Jew but have a circumcised heart, then you're still a Jew in the New Testament. It goes on and says, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. And he explains that again somewhere on down the line there. Romans 9 and 8 says, it is not the children of the flesh that are children of God. We're not talking about Abraham's seed in the natural because, as we just saw, it is not his children in the flesh that are children of God. But it goes on to say that the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed. The children of the promise are all those who receive the promise of the new covenant in all its fullness. And you got to admit that most Christians don't know what the new covenant's about. And they don't know what the real gospel is about either. And it's real important to seek out the truth for yourself, folks. The devil is there ready to deceive all those who don't love the truth. They don't love the truth, therefore they don't go searching for it. And of course, these are the multitude of people who will all fall away. Matthew 22 and 14 says, for many are called, but few chosen. Paul continues on in Romans chapter 9 and verse 25. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call that my people which was not my people. That would have been the Gentiles, as you probably already know. And her beloved that was not beloved. And that would have been the New Testament Gentile church because they were not the people of God. 26. And it shall be that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called sons of the living God. The Jews didn't believe that they could be sons of God. And it was hard for them to accept what Jesus had to say about that, but they were not accounted as believers until they believed the new covenant. Folks, there ain't no old covenant. It passed away in Christ, who in Ephesians 2:15, abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And the Bible also says in Galatians 3:23, but before faith came, we were kept in ward under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed, so that the law is become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. Now, Christians who go back under that old covenant are breaking their new covenant to do that. And so they're going to be rejected too as children of the handmaid and not of the free woman, as it says in Galatians 4. That's what Paul warned us about. Romans 9:27 says, and Isaiah cries concerning Israel. He's talking about national Israel. If the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, it is the remnant that shall be saved. For the Lord will execute his word upon the earth, finishing it and cutting it short. And as Isaiah hath said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had become as Sodom and had been made like unto Gomorrah. In other words, meaning that they are not born again. Jesus told a Jew that if he wasn't born again, he couldn't enter the kingdom. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, and couldn't even see the kingdom. John 3 and 3. Now let's see what it is that causes this great falling away. Look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 7. What then? That which Israel seeks for, that he obtained not. Now that's true. Their covenant couldn't make perfect. Therefore God found place for a new covenant. And those who didn't enter into it, they were lost. As Jesus said in Matthew 15:24, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Israel had the old covenant, And they had to be the first to accept or reject the new covenant. That's why he spoke only to them. Romans chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "What then? That which Israel seeks for, that he obtained not, but the election obtained it." The election is speaking of those early disciples of Jesus who were Jews chosen by God. Matthew 22 and 14, "But for many are called, but few chosen." And the Greek word translated election, of course, is electos, and that means the chosen. If you want to be chosen, you got to bear the fruit of the word, right? Romans 11 and 7 says this, "What then? That which Israel seeketh for, that he obtained not, but the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened." Yeah, and that same heart is still coming to the spiritual New Testament Jews too. Verse 8, "According as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this very day." Verse 9, "And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap." Their table is what they eat, and spiritually speaking, it represents their teachings. The Bible warns us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump in Galatians 5 and 9. And that we are to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees in Matthew 16. That leaven, folks, is still among the church in a great way. These people are so confused. They don't even know which covenant they're in. Romans 11 and 9, "And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them." And that's true, because what they're stuck with now is nothing but false religion. Since they don't have a covenant, they don't have a sacrifice. And how can they have a covenant without a sacrifice? The covenant is based on a sacrifice in the Old Testament, so all they have now is just religion. And if they came up with some other sacrifice, God ain't accepting it. There's only one sacrifice that he accepts, and it's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Romans 11, 10 says, "Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow thou down their back always." Let me point something out to you here that history always repeats, that what happened with the old covenant people is basically happening with the new covenant people. It's the same kind of falling away, the same kind of blindness. There's a lot of people who are real religious, but they're not bearing the fruit of Jesus and his disciples. Because when you bear the fruit of Jesus and his disciples, you look like them. You talk like them. You do the things that they do. You walk in their footsteps. This falling away is just like the falling away back then was. However, today Israel is a different people. Today, the real Jews are those people whose circumcision is in the heart. And today, these are the people who are falling away in a repetition of history. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, "That which has been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." Verse 10, "Is there a thing whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been long ago in the ages which were before us." God just keeps repeating history so that we can know what's going to happen in the future. And the biggest prophecy of the future is history, because history tells us what the future is going to be with the people who are the people of God in that time. So now we have the covenant and the Jews don't, and multitudes are falling away from that covenant by their many delusions and their deceptions that they have brought into the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." In Romans 11, 11, "I say then, did they stumble that they might fall? God forbid. But by their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, to provoke them to jealousy." When the Jews stumbled and fell, then the rest were hardened, and God turned to the Gentiles in order to provoke the natural Jews to jealousy. Hopefully, they would repent and turn to the Lord. Verse 12. Now, if their fall is the riches of the world, well, that's because Paul here is talking about all the Gentiles around the world. And their loss, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Verse 13. But I speak to you that are Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I glorify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy them that are my flesh. Paul had a strong desire for the natural Jews to come into the kingdom. But at that time, only he and the other Jewish disciples and those Jewish people who came in at that time were the Jewish remnant. Romans 11 and 14 says, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy them that are my flesh and may save some of them. Romans 11, 15. For if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world. You know, when God turned away from the Jewish people, he turned to the Gentile world to bring them into the kingdom. And it goes on and says, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Yep, we're coming to a time when the natural Jews are going to be resurrected by coming into the kingdom. And they're going to be baptized into Christ, praise God. When we're baptized into Christ, we accept by faith that the old man died in the water of the word. So we're united with Christ in his death and burial. And when we come up out of the water, we accept by faith that we no longer live, but that Christ lives in us, as it says in Galatians 2:20. So we're united with Christ in his resurrection. Glory to God. Mark 16:16 says this. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Romans 11 and 16. For if the first fruit is holy, so is the lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, all those except for the elect were hardened and broken off. And thou, being a wild olive, was grafted in among them, and didst become partaker with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree. Well, that's the Gentiles coming in. Verse 18, glory not over the branches, but if thou gloriest, it is not thou that bearest the root, but the root thee. Thou wouldst say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off. That's the great falling away that we just read about. And their table, the teachings of their false religion. And it's still a snare and a trap to this day, as it says in Romans 11 and 9. Now, we've seen that the parable of the sower says the same thing of them. When Jesus came, there was a great falling away of the first covenant people. And that's a type of the man-child ministry that's fixing to come in our day, a ministry in whom Jesus lives by his word and spirit. Most of those first covenant people had no eyes to see and no ears to hear. And that's why the disciples wanted for Jesus to speak plainly in their language. In other words, without parables. But he refused, because in Luke 8:10 it said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. It wasn't given to them. Romans 11:20 says, well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. It was their unbelief in what? It was their unbelief in the gospel. Unbelief that they no longer had to slay lambs and goats, because Jesus himself was the sacrifice. And that they, through their sin, were the ones who sacrificed Jesus in their own ignorance. They didn't believe these things. They didn't believe in the good news of the gospel that Jesus spoke and the disciples spoke. So the first covenant people were broken off out of their own olive tree, because after Jesus came, they had no covenant. And they still don't have a covenant, even in the natural. Jews today don't have a covenant because they don't have a sacrifice. Even if they did have a red heifer to sacrifice for the cleansing of the priesthood, God wouldn't accept it, because now he's got this new covenant. Hebrews 8:13 says, in that he said, a new covenant he hath made the first old. But that which is becoming old and waxed aged is nigh unto vanishing away. When God made the new covenant, that made the old covenant obsolete. And therefore, if you hold fast to the old covenant and don't come into the new covenant, you don't have a covenant. Simple as that. Romans 11:20 says, well, by their unbelief, they were broken off. And you're going to be broken off too if you let apostate preachers bring you back under that non-existent covenant. By their unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. The thing that causes us to stand in the olive tree of all Israel is faith. Faith in the gospel, faith in the good news, faith in the promises. We're the children of the promise, not of the letter, but of the promise in Galatians 4:28. The promise is what gives us new birth. The promise is what gives us faith also. Romans 10:17. So belief comes of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We become children of Abraham, but not according to the flesh. Those people, the natural Jews, are still there. And they still have their promises. They still have their promised land. We are children according to the Spirit because of the faith of Abraham. Abraham had a covenant before the Old Testament law ever came about. And the Old Testament law came in because of sin. Galatians 3:19. What then is the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. That seed was Jesus Christ. And everybody who abides in him has this promise. But thou standest by faith. So if you lose faith, guess what happens to you? Romans 11:20. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. If you lose faith, you lose the covenant. Your part of the covenant is the faith. God's part of the covenant is the provision. He provides all. He provides everything that you need. And if you stand in faith, you got the provisions. And if you don't stand in faith, you're not justified by faith. Or in other words, you're not accounted righteous. And that's what justified means. And since you're not accounted righteous, you don't get the benefits of the kingdom. By way of example, if you don't believe that 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed, if you don't believe that he has already healed you, then you don't get healed. And it's that away with every other covenant benefit. Any benefit for which you don't have faith, you ain't receiving because you're a non-believer in that regard. I'm not trying to draw a line here about who can get in the kingdom and who can't. I'm talking about how you can miss out on the benefits of the kingdom if you don't believe what the scriptures say. And it's going to be proven who is a believer because these signs will accompany them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that is just regarding the one particular benefit of healing, which we're talking about here, but Jesus gave signs plural. He said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Folks, believers have signs. And if you run across believers who don't have signs, they're not believers according to Jesus. So you see, you might have accepted Jesus. You might even have a born-again spirit. But if you're not a believer, you ain't going to bear fruit. The fruit is the fruit of Jesus. The fruit is what the one out of four received in the parable of the sower, and that fruit put them in the kingdom. The faith of the modern religious system has another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. And that's because men who have no faith changed the gospel to make themselves Christian. But Christian means having the same faith that Jesus gave when he made the new covenant. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. Jesus called it an eternal covenant. Those early Christians were called Christians because they did what Jesus did. They walked in his steps, they spoke what he spoke, and they had his spirit. And that's what the word says, and that disqualifies most people. So now we can see why there would be a great falling away. It's because many people who think they're Christians are not Christians. They're not bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ. And the word is clear. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him, that's speaking of Jesus, ought himself also to walk, even as he, as Jesus too, walked, even as he walked. And Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. His disciples did do his works. And even up until today, his disciples do his works because they have power. They are obedient and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him, it says in Acts 5:32. And if you're not going to be obedient, why would God give you his Holy Spirit to just condemn you more? You need to repent of your sins and be filled with the Spirit of God, glory to God. Romans 11:21 says, for if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Now, we're clearly talking about a falling away of those Gentiles who were grafted into the olive tree. The once saved, always saved people like to give their excuse. Oh, they never really were saved to begin with. No, you don't have a falling away. You can't fall away from something that you don't have. No, they fell away. They are in the olive tree when the Lord sent forth his angels. Matthew 13:41, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity. And he shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. Romans 11:21 says, for if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. So in other words, yeah, you can be in the olive tree through faith, but you may not continue in the faith. There are a whole lot of people out there who do fall away from the faith. The faith, of course, covers a very large territory. But it's basically the things that we were told in our new covenant. If you fall away from these things, how can you call yourself a Christian? Remember what Romans 11:20 says, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says in Job. Proverbs also. Walking in the faith of the New Testament will keep you in the olive tree, because the faith of the New Testament has power, but the faith of backslidden religion don't have any power at all. That faith doesn't do the works of Jesus. That faith doesn't say what he said, because they're cut so much out of their Bible that there ain't much left of it. The promise of the Father is Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Backslidden religion don't have any power. It doesn't even believe in receiving power. Backslidden religion doesn't believe in tongues or any of the rest of those gifts. And such people are not Christian. Christian is Christ-like. Romans 11:22. Behold then the goodness and severity of God. Oh, it is severity. Do you think that God would cut off that many of his Old Testament people, yet he would spare you as his New Testament people for doing the same thing? Folks, we need to hold fast to the things which were spoken. God pronounces a curse in the last four verses of the book to not add to his word or take away from his word. Revelation 22 and 18 said, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. Take away his part means that this is somebody who had it, but then they lost it. And so a great curse, a great falling away is coming. Folks, we're about to repeat history. The man-child ministry is about to start, and Jesus is going to go forth once again in a body of people in whom he lives. And they're going to be reformers, just like he was. Romans 11, 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, even as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That deliverer is the man-child ministry that Isaiah calls the Redeemer in Isaiah 59. The Lord is coming to reform and bring us back to the covenant that these liars from apostate religion took us away from. Did you know that if you deny the words of the covenant and the faith of the covenant, you're a murderer? You spiritually kill people. Who is guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets? It's the harlot, the one who received the seed of man instead of the seed of God. It's the harlot. How many people today are dead because apostate religion does not believe that Jesus delivered us from the curse, delivered us from demons, delivered us from sickness, delivered us from sin? How many of them? These people have destroyed the gospel, and they're guilty. And you're going to see them judged in the exact same way that the leadership of Israel was judged, with blindness, deafness, not being able to accept the truth, and on and on. These backslidden preachers are going to be used as a test for those people who follow them, a test to find out who it is that loves the truth. The truth is here in black and white, but apostate religion denies it. They ain't nothing but idolaters, because you can show them the word and they still will deny it for their own religious doctrines and idols, and their own preacher idols too. And God's angry with them because he's given them time to repent, and they have not done so. A few will repent and come into the kingdom, but sadly, most will not. The early disciples were sad that 3 out of 4 who heard the gospel were not holding fast to what God was giving. And that's the same way it is today. We're seeing a falling away already. A great falling away of people who don't believe the word and refuse to obey it because of their idols. Romans 11, 22 says, behold then the goodness and severity of God toward them that fail severity, but toward thee God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Cut off means that they were in the olive tree, and a good many people will be cut off even before the tribulation comes. Apostate churches teach that they're all going to be raptured away. I'm going to tell you something. The bigger part is going to be cut off in a great falling away. Romans 11, 23. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. And if the Jews don't continue in their unbelief, they can be grafted back into their own olive tree. Then it goes on and says, for God is able to graft them in again. Praise God forevermore. They have always been Jews coming into the new covenant. Although some of them come only halfway into the new covenant because they have a problem in knowing which part of which covenant to obey. And they think it's good to keep all the feasts and all the Old Testament law because they don't understand that that's exactly what the Bible warns about. Those feasts were parables. By following the Old Testament law, they're not keeping the parable, they're doing the parable. They don't know they're supposed to be fulfilling the parable because of the letter. 2 Corinthians 3 and 6 says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So God is able to graft them back in. And when you see large numbers of Jews coming in, just know that the end of the times of the Gentiles is close, as it says in Ezekiel chapter 30. Romans 11:24 says, for if thou wast cut out of that which is by nature a wild olive tree, and wast grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Praise God. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that a hardening in part hath befallen Israel. That's talking about natural Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. God's hardened them, just as he said. And of course, those who have passed away in their sins are separated from the kingdom. But the Lord is going to restore Israel. When we come close to the end of the time of the Gentiles, or the fullness of the Gentile, which is all those who are going to come in, then God is going to restore Israel, and the Gentiles will be hardened. Those that haven't come into the kingdom at that time, they're going to hear, but they won't obey. Romans 11:26, and so all Israel shall be saved. And here we see that all Israel is everybody in the olive trees. It's those who stayed. It's those who came in and stayed. And it's those who came in and left, but returned and were grafted back in. Jesus, when he went and preached the gospel to the souls that were in prison, separated a group of them from Sheol, and it's the place of the dead, and took them with him. Praise God. And so faithful people from the Old Testament are in the kingdom, because only those who are believers according to the new covenant are in the olive tree. John chapter 7, verse 38. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. Are you going to receive the Holy Spirit? Have you not yet received the Holy Spirit, as it talks about in Acts chapter 8 and 19? What you waiting for? Romans 11:26 says this, and so all Israel shall be saved. And you can see that all Israel here is not talking about all natural Israel, but those who are Jews inwardly, and whose circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so all Israel shall be saved. Even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. And of course, Zion is Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is that city which is born from above. It's the born-again Jerusalem, not the one that's in bondage with their children who were sons of the handmaid because of the law. It ain't them. When Jesus spoke to the Philadelphia church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, he spoke about them being from above. The bride, that heavenly Jerusalem, is coming down out of heaven because we're being born from above. It's the bride, because Zion is not the whole church. It never was, just as Jerusalem was not the whole church, and it never was. But there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, because God is going to shine forth out of Zion. Psalm 14:7 says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, then shall Jacob rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Zion is going to be the leadership, much like he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, it says in John 3:29. That was spoken of Jesus and his disciples, who were the first fruits unto Jesus. The deliverer is the one who is going to bring in the remnant of Israel. Praise God. Romans 11:26 says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As touching the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." You see, he's going to bring them that gospel again. And what's more, the elect will receive it, because that's what happened the first time. History just keeps on repeating. "For the gifts and calling of God are not repented of." It's a sad thing, but the reason so many people are going to fall away is because they're not believers according to the New Testament. John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water." Folks, there are so many religious and preachers out there that pick and choose verses. They don't walk in the steps of Jesus, and therefore they don't have the power that Jesus had, in which he passed on to his disciples, his true learners and followers. They have received another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. And that ain't nothing but Antichrist. Yet these are broadly accepted and not recognized for the cult that they are. And to them, you're the one in a cult if you believe what Jesus believed and you walk in his steps and you walk in his power. To them, you're the one in a cult if you believe that the gospel delivers you from sin and the power of darkness, because they've never read the word. They just accepted what that preacher said. But they are the ones in a cult, and they are the dangerous ones. These are the people who throughout history have killed the righteous ones who have believed the word of God. Their forefathers killed all the prophets. They killed the disciples. They persecuted the believers. These are the same people, and they persecute believers today when they try to tell them the truth out of their love for them. Just as the Apostle Paul loved people as his own flesh. Mark 7:17. "And when he entered into the house from the multitude, his disciples asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Perceive ye not that whatsoever from without goeth into the man cannot defile him?" There's some people out there still caught up in Old Testament doctrine, because they don't understand that those clean and unclean meats of Leviticus 11 were symbols of partaking of people in their lives. So they're actually acting out the parable, but they're not keeping what the parable points to. They believe they're defiled for eating this or eating that. But Jesus said it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. Mark 7:19. "Because it goeth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draw. This he said, making all meats clean." If you bless your food, it's blessed. If you don't believe you can bless your food, it's not blessed. It's that simple. I bless everything I eat. That way ain't no problems. I don't have a problem. Of course, everything is under the curse, as it says in Deuteronomy 28. It's not just the clean or unclean meats. All meats are under the curse. And people are dying from meats, whether they are kosher or whether they are unkosher. They're dying from everything out there because everything is under the curse. And the only way something is not under the curse is if you are not under the curse, because you believe that Jesus became the curse for you, so that you could have Abraham's blessings. Jesus bore the curse, but these people don't believe it. They believe that they have to be very careful about what they eat, even though he's telling them, no, it's not what you eat that defiles you. When the Apostle Peter didn't quite catch on, this parable was repeated for him in a more detailed way. Acts 10:11. "Behold, the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending, as it were, a great sheet, let down by four corners upon the earth. wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And a voice came unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. God corrected Peter. And those of you who have been Judaized need to repent and believe what Jesus said. Mark 7:20 says, And he said, That which proceedeth out of the mouth, out of the man, that defileth. That's the Greek word koinou, and it means to make unclean. Render unhallowed or unholy, defile, profane. And that defileth the man. It's what comes out of you that makes you unclean, not what goes into you. We're told to, in Hebrews 12:14, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification. That's the Greek hagiosmos, and it means the process of advancing in holiness. The believer being progressively transformed by the Lord into his likeness. And it goes on to say, without which no man shall see the Lord. So without holiness or sanctification, and that both has the same meaning, no man shall see the Lord. Holy is clean, and a man is unclean by what's in his heart and what comes out of his heart. He's not unclean by what he eats. Mark 7:21 says, For from within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed. How do thoughts proceed out of man? They proceed out in words. If you confess him before man, he'll confess you before the Father, because he's the high priest of our confession, it says in Hebrews 3. And the Greek word for confess is homologeo, and it means to speak the same as, to publicly declare. If you don't read the word, and if you don't say what the word says, you're not being confessed before the Father. And that's a dangerous thing, because if you want the benefits of this word, you must confess this word. And I suggest you confess it every day. Glory to God. Well, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, God willing.